possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to the podcast. Hey, it's Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. And the Tigers spring training has begun. And a lot of talk about the Tigers and just where their farm system is. It wasn't highly rated at all this offseason. There's a lot of doom and gloom surrounding the Tigers after what was basically a systemic meltdown last year. And there was a lot of enthusiasm going into the season. And it didn't just include the major league club and its fading, but also the perception of the Tigers' minor league system. Evan, one of the things that was kind of obvious is, hey, you know, Spencer Torkelson didn't live up to that number one rating as the top prospect in baseball. And Riley Green did to a degree after he came back from an unfortunate injury. But there's still some questions about him. He was ranked as high as Torkelson. So the cause and effect here is that now the perception of the minor league system is it's probably a little underrated because people are somewhat skeptical. And the top prospects that they've had the last few years that got the Tigers so highly rated to begin with, Casey Mize, Tarek Skubal, Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green, Matt Manning. They've all made their major league debuts and they've graduated, as they call it, from that. In my view, though, I don't think the system's as bad as it's being rated. I think a couple of their prospects are underrated. And I think the Tigers, the key is getting those players that we mentioned that are already at the major league level either healthy or right. And also continuing to try to feed their system. So that's how I feel about it. And, you know, if you were to ask me if they have no player development system that's not going to develop and Scott Harris is in trouble because he inherited such a terrible player development system, I'm not so sure. But I think the changes that they've made, adding a lot more personnel, both at the major league and minor league level and kind of moving into a little bit more of a modern time that is actually going to be able to be implemented will pay off.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting times right now. I mean, seeing all these players going
real. It is?
Yeah.
It is?
I mean,
No, let me ask you this, honestly, yeah. Because you know, it seems to me like it's at a low ebb for the Tigers right now. I think it was so disastrous last summer in so many ways, and the expectations were risen, that right now, there's not any excitement about their farm system at all, or, you know, even the major league club. People are, you know, asking me all the time, you know, and I look at it more analytically than you would emotionally. Are you actually excited about this?
As a baseball fan, yes. Just to have baseball back, to see the progression of Green, Torkelson, Skubal. Doesn't look like we'll see Mize right away. But to see that progression, I am super excited. But you're right, from a fan perspective, from what I see on social media day in and day out and phone calls and this and that at 97.1, is it's not where it was last year. Last year, everybody
not
was all
close.
No, yeah. Hyped up because of how they finished their season. And you couldn't have gone dressed much different than we did this past year, how they ended. So the hype isn't there for the majority of fans, but I'm just pumped because baseball is back. Better weather.
Well, yeah. My experience with it is, if I, come on the air, I don't even set up a baseball topic and I'll get baseball calls.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I'm the quote-unquote baseball guy, right? And I always take the calls, and there's a huge core of Tiger fans. The Tigers are very, very popular, even if they're not doing well. But it's not like where it's like the everyday buzz about them or excitement, quote unquote excitement. And what I've learned about it, as long as I've been doing this, especially with the baseball stuff, is last year, I bought into they were doing pretty well and they were going to be pretty good. And when they got to the point where they either had to move up or it wasn't going to work for them, they took a drastic drop, and then they had to make the changes that they made, starting with Alabila being fired. And it wasn't just the major league level. There were a lot of disappointments at the minor league level. So what I'm going to try to do here today is sort it out and give people an idea of where these guys are and what I think. Now, first of all, I think the Tigers' top prospect is Job, the pitcher, who was taken third overall. And he has caused no buzz for Tiger fans. This isn't Spencer Torkelson or Riley Green. You never hear Jackson Job's name mentioned, when I'd have phone calls or anything. And plus there were a couple players that were taken after him that were shortstops. Jordan Lawler by Texas and Marcello Mayer by the Red Sox. That did very well, and the Tigers need a shortstop, and people wanted those two guys at the time. Conversely, even though Jackson Job has done very well and has a very good upside, it's kind of diminished what his level is as a prospect. I mean, Baseball America had one Tiger guy in the top 100. This is a knock on Baseball America. I worked there for a long time. I was the Detroit guy for a couple decades. Had cover stories that I wrote there, and I love those folks. But the bottom line about it is he's better than that, all right? And he had a pretty good first year. People just really didn't tune into actually what was going on. His games were not minor league television because of they were in Lakeland, so there were only a couple starts. But the pitcher that I saw in those last couple games at West Michigan was a really good prospect. I mean, a top prospect. He's throwing 97 miles an hour. He's obviously got a high spin a slider. He's young and he's athletic. He got through 100 and some innings last year, I believe it was. They took him, slowly, and he's doing fine. So because of this other part of everything going on, all of a sudden he's been pushed down, but he is still a very, very good prospect. And in my opinion, he's the Tigers' top prospect. And so you got that. And then Wilmer Flores, who was taken, he wasn't drafted. It was in the 5-round draft. And his brother actually is Wilmer Flores, who plays shortstop in the major leagues. It's kind of a couple William Wilmer Floreses.
They have another brother named that too.
Yeah. It's like George Foreman and George Foreman and George Foreman. So I don't know what that's all. He looks really different than his brother too. It's really. But this guy, he's got great command. He was signed for $20,000 or less. That's all you could sign players for. And he's somebody that's going to pitch in the major leagues perhaps as soon as this year. He's got every part of his arsenal, including the poise. So the pitching thing is going pretty well. Ty Madden, who was drafted out of Texas, they changed his delivery point. He was straight over to the top, but they want that sailing fastball now, the one that stays on a straight line because hitters are using the launch angle swing. He went to three quarters. He did very well doing that. He's got a good slider. And I project him long-term as a possible bullpen piece, but he's going to help him. So the pitching thing is going pretty well with a number of their different pitchers that they have down there. And, you know, the Bo Briskies and some of those that you saw last year, Hill, and they've augmented the pitching staff with a couple veterans, Boyd and Lorenzen. You're going to see perhaps some development with pitching, and the Tigers could have some. But people are, they want to know where the position players are, because the Tigers didn't hit at all last year. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. They just didn't hit. They're swinging at pitches 3 feet outside. The veteran guys that they signed, like Baez, Tucker Barnhart, got a 2-year contract with the Cubs.
I know, I saw it. Wow.
You know, it's kind of amazing to me, even though it's like at $3 million a year, the cut. Those guys are all disappointing. But and I don't know what's going to happen with Green, and I don't know what's going to happen with Torkelson. Green, I think, is going to hit 25 home runs or, you know, something along those lines, because I think he's a very good player. He's at the top of every element that you have when it comes down to hitting and fielding. He's in the great category on the measurements. You can find this on Baseball Savant if you want to look. For exit velocity, maximum exit velocity, top percent in the top half and foot speed, jump rate in the top 18%. You know, that's getting a jump in the outfield. You saw those catches that he made last year. Everything except for contact rate. He's in the bottom 10% last year. 337 at bats. So he has to make more consistent contact. That's it. And if he does that, I think you'll see his power numbers come up. He came up last year and showed this extraordinary patience at the plate, where he'd take the first pitch for a ball and he'd get ahead in the count. And his on-base percentage got a lot of notice. But in major leagues, everything's scouted, and they just started hammering him with strikes on first pitch strikes. And then he went down a little bit and then made some adjustment. But he definitely has more power than he showed last year on a consistent basis. And I expect that to come up this year. I have no idea on Torkelson. People ask me and say, you were the one who predicted that he would struggle. I didn't think he'd struggle like that. And I didn't think he'd get that many at-bats in the major leagues and by osmosis wouldn't hit more home runs. I knew he was going to struggle with the fastball because I've never seen him hit a, you know, 94-mile-an-hour plus fastball for a home run and attract all his at-bats in the minor leagues that year that he played and hit all those home runs. They were all on pitches that were sub-velocity pitches. But at minimum, he should be hitting mistakes. And he's got to get lift on the ball. And it seems to me, and I know one of the reports is that he's using a lighter bat in spring training, but Evan, to me, he's got to at some point learn to guess a little bit. You can't wait for the pitch at the major league level. It comes down the tunnel a little bit later when you can recognize it. You have to guess a little bit. You can't just be waiting for it and then adjust. He has to at some point, you know, is it a fastball? Is it a curveball? And he can't, you know, I know it's the opposite of Green. You know, there's a little bit better contact rate and walks and things like that. But the bottom line about him with this is he has to, at some point, figure out when a pitch is coming, identify the pitch either before or, you know, quickly, and then react. You can't wait for the ball to pass the plate. So, and obviously, he's not somebody who's like one of these. And there's like maybe 10 people in the world that can hit a 98-99-hour fastball without guessing and still react to it. You know, that isn't there. So that's the adjustment I think he has to make. So we'll see. I mean, he's a very talented athlete. He actually runs faster than Riley Green. So, and both those players, and it's going to be interesting with Bedu, they're still a developmental player, how they're going to use them with stealing. Are they going to take their better athletes and have them start to run more with the new rule changes?
Sure. Now, what about guys that will be playing at AA or AAA that we could see here shorter amount of time than others?
Well, and look, I hope I'm wrong. All right, I'm not trying to dismiss a player out of line. It's just my observation right now, and certainly a lot of these players down through the years have shown me wrong, and I'm happy when that happens. All right, so right now I look at Chase Young, who they took first last year. I wouldn't have done that. All right, a college hitter without a lot of tools who doesn't present much defensively. He didn't hit with power once he got him up to the minor leagues. He looks just okay to me for where they took him in the draft, 12th overall. I think it was 12th overall. To me, there wasn't what they should have done. They should have gone for somebody with some more tools. There were some high school shortstops, some other players that they could have taken there. It was the very conservative pick, and it seemed to be indicative of where the organization was at that time after this meltdown that they had. So I'm not looking for him to come up and tear it up, all right, which you would expect for one of the top college hitters in his second year of professional baseball to possibly be on the cusp. And when it comes down to position players, a lot of talk about Cole Keith. Looks like he's dropped a few LBs because he got too big last year. I mean, he was starting to rock around at 250 pounds. That's a bit much.
That's a big kid.
Right. And look, we're on a verbal thing here right now in this podcast. But the bottom line, I got a little bit of a puffy face and everything, so I'm not making fun of it. But when you get the puffy face along with it, that means there might be some overweight. But he does have power. He does have tools. I think he's, at some point, if he works as, going to be a pretty good third baseman. And to me, he's the most intriguing prospect that they have down there. I wasn't impressed with what Peyton Graham did last year, their second pick from Oklahoma, who was on a premier college team. But he's fast. So if he's able to get on base – and then with the new rules, you might see him take a step forward this year. And, I think the thing with some of their younger prospects, Pacheco, Segura, players that we've talked a lot here, they're still pretty far away. So I'm not, and a lot of people would say, what about Ryan Kreidler? Well, he's going to get a shot. If he performs, he is going to get a shot at third base. There's no question about that. But the issue is, how will he perform? And while he did have some moments as a hitter in the minor leagues, one of the red flags about him is his splits, because he doesn't hit right-handers nearly as well as left-handers. So there's a lot of question marks there. The one player that I think is going to be intriguing is Parker Meadows, Austin Meadows' brother. He has tools, Evan. He's very fast. It'll be interesting to see what the Doppler radar shows on him running when those numbers come up. But the Tigers know that. He goes first to third extraordinarily fast, and he's become a pretty good outfielder. He can chase the ball. For a long time there, he was like a pony being born. He had big long legs and long swing and big body and everything. But it started to get compacted into being able to use that surge, to hit the ball, chase the ball, run on the bases last year, started to make more consistent contact. And if he were a college player and he were 23 years old, I think that's what he is, people would have a completely different view of him than, hey, I remember when he came out, he got a lot of hype. He was Austin Meadows' brother. And, he just hasn't been that good. Well, right now he's showing signs of being pretty good. He's underrated, I think. And I think he could contribute to the Tigers this year. And perhaps, if things work right, perhaps significantly. So he would be the player that I would look to help the Tigers the most this year from that kind of group of players. And the developmental guys, I think that the better prospects are the Seguras, the Santanas, these younger players, Pacheco that we talked about, who are still very much in a developmental stage. And Colt Keith would be the other one that I would look to maybe project to the Tigers as a position player. Kerry Carpenter will likely be their DH most of the time. I don't think they're going to play Miggy that much, to be honest with you. You kind of split at bats with him, but he's a left-handed hitter. So Miggy will probably get a lot of shots against the left-handed pitchers in that particular position. And I think they're going to want to give him a good look. And it's kind of a crowded outfield, you know, for him to actually get out there in the outfield. But he hit a lot of home runs last year, a lot.
Yep.
And he hit home runs at the major league level. You know, he had a lot more. He had more home runs than Riley Green did, and a lot fewer at bats at the major league level. And Torkelson, he only had a couple less than him, and he had a lot of major league at bats as well. And he hit all those home bombs. He's got some power. And the one thing I like about Carpenter is he can hit a fastball. He can hit a fastball. So that's one of the, you know, and he takes it the other way. He's got a nice stroke. It's short. And, you know, he gets the barrel there, and he gets it there with some velocity on it, and that takes the ball a long way when he gets some lift on it. So I like him, but we've already seen him in the major leagues, you know, for a considerable time, but we'll see how that goes. And, you know, catching-wise, it's a big year for Dylan Dingler.
Yeah.
Who, you know, was taken in the second round of that 2022 draft, the catcher from Ohio State. He's definitely a good athlete. He got derailed. He was on a great pace. He got derailed by some injury, and he hasn't been the same from that injury, even though he's fully recovered from it. He has to start to hit better, you know, just hit better, you know, because I think the defensive aspect of the game will come to him a little bit. But look, if he has a good year this year, you might see him. And these players, when they're young like that, you know, sometimes the light bulb goes off. You never know exactly when it is, because baseball is a game that they learn how to play. And that's why you have minor leagues and such extensive stints in the minor leagues. So,
awesome. Well, I mean, is that pretty much everybody? The other person that I hear, you mentioned Santana a little bit, is Roberto Campos. That's another guy. I think the Tigers, that's the most they've ever spent an international prospect. Is that a guy that is still a few years away?
As far as I'm concerned, he's a few years away. He signed at 16. He's got real good tools, you know, on those different things. But, you know, he's still raw. So he's a player that you're not going to see in the major leagues for a while. And, you know, some of these players, yeah, he's got potential. He has potential. Segura has potential. You know, Wilkin Ramirez, he has a back issue or something, but all of a sudden he hit a bunch of home runs last year at 24. So, but these younger guys, they're still like, they'll be the guys we'll be talking about at Erie or West Michigan this year, not in any context of the major leagues. And so they're pretty far away as far as I'm concerned. The other player, I didn't mention him, but he's definitely in the mix for this year, Evan, is Justin Henry Molloy, who they got in the deal.
Oh, that's
from
right.
Atlanta. You know, he's and you know, people say, well, what is he like? Is he really good? They got him for Joey Menez and all that. The one thing I really like about him is he's got a quick bat. You know, he you know, but is he going to spray the ball around? He's had pretty good plate discipline in the minor leagues. And what position is he going to play? Yeah, because what I see right now, and I've checked him out quite a bit this offseason, and it's hard to tell because you go into these games, it's hard to find the defensive plays. You know, I don't have like the Tigers would have a cut-up of him all defensively
sure.
or whatever. So I got to search for it for a long time. But he doesn't look like an electric defender.
Okay.
All right. Looks like, you know, and not he's a guy that has to hit, I think. And I don't know, he's a third baseman, outfielder, whatever. But the one thing, they got a lot of guys that can play multiple positions, and they have to figure out, you know, how to piece those guys together. You know, you can't have a whole team of utility guys, although that helps the versatility, but you can't be all that. But he's definitely somebody, I think he's going to start at Toledo. And he'll be tracked, and he does have potential. And I thought it was real good value back in the Joe Jimenez trade to get him because he was blocked in Atlanta. Wasn't going to play. They projected him as a third baseman, and you know they signed Riley long term. So that's where he stands on it. So, but a lot of these players that they have in position is very iffy, and it's a huge year for a number of them. You know, and people talk about some hey, you know what, this guy's kind of off on the thing. We haven't, you know, seen too much of it, and they're younger and all that. I'm just looking at a list of players that I get asked a lot about. Yeah, it's, I don't know. Oh, I did want to say this. I do, this is a player to keep your eye on. Sometimes in baseball, it works this way. And that's Andre Lipschitz. I believe I pronounced his name properly, the kid from Tennessee. Okay. His brother plays in Tennessee as well. He had a real good year last year. And he was a real good college player. He played shortstop in college. And when they drafted him, you know, it was a little bit of a struggle in pro baseball. But he's one of those guys who's kind of persevered through things and just keeps getting a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And there's a land of opportunity for him. Evan, it's my prediction that he will be the spring training phenom, because he'll get a bunch of hits and he'll be going, wow, who's this Lipschitz guy? You know, and, you know, people, you know, call him, hey, what about him? And I think that'll be the spring training phenom, because he'll get some at-bats in the major league. They put him on the roster in the exhibition games. He's not well-known, but he actually is a fringe prospect. But a lot of times, Evan, guys like that become real good players. And he was a very good college player. And he does have some ability, both at bat and in the field. I like him somewhat. But, again, it's always hard to identify what a guy's going to do when he gets into the big level. You know, is he a 4A guy? Is he somebody that when he gets into the big show, is he going to adjust to how much better, faster, you know, just the quality of play in the major leagues is off the charts compared to even AAA, which is high level of baseball, but not like that.
Right. And then I think this weekend we get the first taste of Tiger baseball on the radio. So that's exciting, too.
Yeah. Oh, another pitcher to look for, too. I mean, it's Reese Olson. I mean, he has a chance to pitch in the major leagues this year. He's got real good command. Another player that they got in a trade that, you know, people are like, well, what was that? But he's somebody that could show up. So, yeah, we get it. It's always one of my favorite things, especially from Lakeland. There's a unique sound when Dan does the game and the ball hits there. You know, all those different things. So, it's very exciting for the baseball folks that it's going to be the start of the baseball season. And there's a lot of baseball folks like you and me out there. That's one thing I got to say. As much as I love the NFL and, you know, all these sports, but, baseball is a big deal. And it's a big deal here, 97.1 The Ticket, where we work, because we carry the games. And the Tigers, a lot of people listen. And I know that because I come on after the games and talk to you all about it. So I always get a lot of calls after the Tiger games, win or lose. So looking forward to the start of the season. Hey, don't forget to download our podcast. The Apple iTunes Store, Google Play Store, Odyssey.com. You got the King of KC on Twitter. BB posts up there. Evan Jenkins, and you got Pat Caputo 98 on Twitter. And of course, we're on Facebook, the station, and we got our Facebook accounts and everything. We post those up there. Yes, I appreciate y'all listening. It's all about draft prospects in the future on this. I write columns, you know, about the club. We put this in there. Don't forget to check out my columns on 97.1 The Ticket's website and whatever. And check out all that Will Birchfield does for us. He does a terrific job covering everything. Including the Tigers. Till next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.